The air was cold, and the house was quiet. Harry got out of bed and shoved his bare feet into his sneakers. Out in the kitchen, if he stood right on the tip of his sneakers, he could just reach the peanut butter jar up on the top cupboard. He ran his finger around the inside of the almost empty jar. There was only enough peanut butter for one slice, so he put two pieces of bread in the toaster and made a toast sandwich. Even though the embers were dead, Harry sat down by the wood heater to eat. He ate quickly. Auntie Jean would be here soon to take him to the regatta, and he'd better get dressed properly. He'd better find the scarf she'd made him and wear it. He'd better put on the navy blue parka she'd bought him for Christmas. He didn't really like the parka because it was too big, and he didn't like the colour. But it was warm. Anyway, he didn't have another coat, only a thin rain jacket. He wished Joe would take him to the show instead of Auntie Jean. But at least she didn't talk much in the car. She had the radio on, but it was mostly a man talking and not enough songs. Harry tried to listen to the talking so that he didn't have to think about the road. It was a long drive, and the worst bit was still to come. The bit where the thin little road curved around and around as it climbed up the back of Mount Wellington. That was where his ears usually popped and where he usually got car sick. He tried hard not to get car sick. Auntie Jean might turn back and take him home if he got sick. He kept his eyes on things inside the car. He looked at the dash and down at his legs. He looked at the black mat that his feet rested on. He looked at Auntie Jean's white, lumpy hands wrapped tight around the steering wheel. Finally, they were at Fern Tree. Harry opened and closed his jaw a few times to help his ears clear. He thought about asking Auntie Jean to stop so he could go to the toilet, but he decided to hold on. They were finally on the other side, going down. He could look out the window and see Hobart in slithers through the trees that lined the road. Parts of houses and bits of roads, flashes of blue water and white sails. And as the trees thinned out, there were more and more houses. The city finally came into view as a whole, and Harry loved it. All the buildings and the cars and all the things to do. Auntie Jean parked the car on the grass near the cenotaph. She wanted to see the wood chopping, and it started at 11. That meant they had 40 minutes, so after finding the portable loos, Harry led them straight to the rides. He wanted to take his time, look at all of them, because he knew he would only be allowed to go on one. Some of the rides looked scary, and some were boring, like the merry-go-round. The Gee-Whizzer looked the best, but he needed Miles here to go on it with him. If he went by himself, he would slide along the seat every time the ride spun in a new direction. There was no way he could get Auntie Jean on the Gee-Whizzer. Maybe she'd go on the Ferris wheel. As they walked around, Harry noticed all the game stalls, the moving clown faces, darts, hoops, and one he didn't know. There were lots of jars arranged on a table, and some had money in them, notes. The jar in the middle had a $10 note in it. You had to throw a 1 cent piece into a jar containing a note, and if you did, you won the money. "Maybe I could have a go at that," he said. Auntie Jean looked over at the stall.
"Nobody ever wins those games, Harry. They're set up so that no one wins. If you spend your money I give you there, you won't be able to go on a ride."
Harry looked over at the Gee-Whizzer one more time. Kids were screaming their heads off as the carriages twirled.
"I don't think I want to go on a ride," he said.
"Well, don't be disappointed when you don't win anything."
Harry took the dollar note from a hand and ran over to the stall. A hairy, red-eyed man gave him 3 1-cent pieces to throw at the jars. He threw the first one way too far and it missed the table altogether. It landed on the grass. Harry thought that maybe it didn't count and he could start again, but the man shook his head. It counted. He threw the second and it hit the rim of an empty jar and then fell onto the table. Harry threw the last coin more carefully, and it worked. The coin bounced off the rim of one jar and landed in another that had a $5 note in it.
I won! Auntie Jean, I won!
No, you didn't. It doesn't count.
The bearded man pointed to a large sign that had a lot of black writing on it.
The coin must go straight in. It can't bounce off another jar first.
Auntie Jean was suddenly right beside him.
Come away, Harry. I told you it was a waste of money.
Harry felt his face getting hot. People were looking over and he kept his eyes down as he walked away from the stall. Auntie Jean kept on talking, going on about how he'd wasted his money, and Harry stopped listening. He studied people's feet as they walked. He looked at all the shoes that passed by. There were lots of gumboots. There were lots of strollers and prams. And even though it was only the first day of the regatta, the grass had already been worn away where people walked. The dark, sticky earth was covered in wrappers and plastic bags and squashed hot chip buckets. Then Harry saw it. $20. It was just lying there, and a woman trod right on it, and she didn't notice it. She just kept on walking. Harry dropped down and grabbed it. It was crumpled and muddy, but it really was $20. It really was. Auntie Jean stopped walking. She looked down.
Don't sulk, Harry. It doesn't suit you.
Harry held the note up. Look! Auntie Jean huddled over him.
Get up and put it in your pocket before someone says they've dropped it.
Harry stood up, shoved the note in his pocket, and he kept his hand on it so it wouldn't fall out. It was his now. He wasn't going to lose it.
It's a lot of money, Harry, a lot of money. You can buy your own show bags now, okay? But don't spend it all. You should save it. Save it.
But Harry was way ahead of her. Now he could get 2 show bags and 1 for Miles and go on a ride. And maybe get a show bag for his friend Stuart. Because Stuart never got to come to the show. And when Ben at school busted Harry's He-Man head off, Stuart let him play with his He-Man. Stuart had He-Man and Battle Cat and Beast Man and Skeletor. Harry should probably buy him a He-Man show bag. Auntie Jean was looking at a watch. Harry knew her legs would be hurting by now and that she wanted to get off to the wood chopping, but he didn't care. He had $20. He could get whatever he wanted, and Auntie Jean couldn't say anything about it. He could get 10 show bags if he wanted. 10.
We'd better go and get a seat. Brian Roberts's boy is competing. Heath, is that his name?
Harry nodded. Inside the marquee, they sat on plastic seats near the front. It was crowded, and the competitors in their white T-shirts were already standing on the center stage of grass, checking their equipment. Harry recognized Heath Roberts. He was the skinniest man up there, but had the most hair. Thick, blonde hair, just like his brother Justin. Justin had been in Miles' year at school. The first 4 men took their positions on top of the huge logs. The starter gun fired, and 4 sharp metal axes swung through the air. Wood chips went flying, and the metal swung and swung. It was making Harry hot. All the movement and noise, all the metal slicing into wood, and it wouldn't stop. The hack, 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 and the crowd were grunting and yelling, and a man next to him kept screaming,
"Come on, boy, come on!"
Harry tugged on Auntie Jean's coat sleeve.
"What is it?"
she said. But she didn't move her eyes. They stayed with the axes, stayed fixed on the men. Harry tugged harder.
"I feel sick," he said. "Oh, damn, Heath's out."
The metal noise stopped, and the crowd clapped and cheered. Harry looked over, and a big, bald man with a sweaty head had busted through his log. It lay on the grass in 2 pointy pieces.
"I feel sick,"
Harry said again. Auntie Jean looked at him now.
"Yes, you do look pale. Go and get some fresh air and come and get me if you need me. I want to see the final."
She turned her attention back to the action, and Harry pushed his way through to the exit before the next heat started. Out in the light, away from the noise and crowd, he started to feel better. He could breathe again. He could think about show bags. Cadbury's bags were the best. They had the most chocolate, but they were pricey. $4. He bought 1 for Miles and 1 for himself, and he looked at the He-Man bag. It was okay with a face mask, colouring book and a plastic belt, but he decided it was probably better to get Stuart a lolly bag. He got a Redskins bag because it had stacks of Redskins, choo-choos and toffee apples. He got one for himself too, and a Bertie Beetle bag because it was cheap and came with a cowboy hat and an orange dart gun. Then he bought two hot American donuts and a can of lemonade. He had $4.50 left. He sat down on a patch of grass that overlooked the water. The Tasman Bridge was a giant concrete frame, and underneath it, the regatta was all going on. Rowing races, sailboats, larger ferries patrolling up and down with large, colourful flags. Harry ate the donuts and felt good. Miles would love the Cadbury's bag. He could give him a redskin or a toffee apple too, if he wanted. He saw one of the animal sheds and decided to go in. He wanted to make sure the chopping was all over before he went back to Auntie Jean. Inside, it was warm and smelled like manure. A huge bull gave him the evil eye as he scooted by. Harry didn't care what people said about cows being dumb. He knew they were smart by the way they looked at you. They were just waiting to get you as soon as you turned your back. In the next aisle, there were goats. White ones, brown ones, and a strange-looking black and tan one with big ears. There were four babies with it, and above the pen was a blue ribbon that said, Best in Show, 1983. Harry squatted down and stuck his hand through the bars. One of the babies ran over and tried to bite his thumb. Didn't seem to have any teeth, so it didn't hurt. After a few bites, it gave up and started rubbing the top of its head against Harry's arm.
They're real beauties, aren't they?
Harry shot up. A tall man wearing overalls was standing right beside him.
I'm sorry, Harry said,
and the baby goat bleated. It looked up to see where its scratching post had gone.
You're all right, son,
the man said. He had a lined, smiling face. He bent down and picked the little goat up.
Here you are. You can hold it if you like. It's an African goat. It's called an Anglo-Nubian.
Harry looked at the goat. It had started chewing the man's overalls. He wanted to hold it. He wanted to climb in the pen and sit down and play with all the goats. Like the time when Mum, when they'd come to the show and they'd all sat down in the straw and a little goat came up and licked Harry's face and its tongue was hard and rough, but its breath was warm on his cheek and it let out a little bleat right in Harry's ear. Harry bleated back and it made Mum laugh.
Oh, I love goats, she'd said. My aunt's waiting, Harry said.
The man nodded and he smiled. He put the little goat back in the pen with the others, and Harry ran out of the shed, holding his show bags tight as he wove his way through families and packs of screaming teenage girls.
Looks like somebody did well,
Auntie Jean said, looking down at the show bags Harry carried in both hands.
Well, they're not all for me. Well, just don't eat too many lollies now. We'll have a bit more of a look around, and then we'll go into town for lunch. They only seem to have Dagwood dogs and chips here.
Harry decided not to tell Auntie Jean about the donuts and lemonade.